This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Friday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, we had a white day of Major League Baseball yesterday, first round of the 3M Open. But a big day in baseball today, and world number one are looking pretty good after that first round in Minnesota.
Yeah, when you're playing at a AAA level as far as the competition, this is what should happen here for Scottie Scheffler. So nice job. I know. It's him against the course. That's what he said. He doesn't think about rivalries or competition with anyone else. Light slate on the diamond yesterday. Two horrible beats on the run line in the Braves game and in the Tigers game. But, Dave, we re-rack it. We get back today. Full slate. We get a little afternoon affair later on today. So excited to chop it up on a Friday.
We got a really good lineup on a Friday as well, as we normally do. Catch up with our guy T.G. Thomas Gable right there at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Mike Fisher is going to join the program here to break down America's team, the Cowboys, and their prognosis this year. Lou Finocchiaro on the program. We're going over to Abu Dhabi. I'll be getting up early in the morning to watch that fight card. So will Lou. Also, he's got some football plays. He's going to release right here before he's put it anywhere else, whether it's on the social media or not. We're going to get that from Lou Finocchiaro here. And then Blake Topmeyer is going to join us here to talk all things college football and what he's seen so far from SEC Media Days and beyond. But let's get to it, because it still is a tour on the PGA Tour, rather a tournament on the PGA Tour with world number one, but he's not the leader after round number one. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
The story of this weekend really is, boy, Scottie Scheffler's playing in the 3M Open for the first time. Yeah, he is, and he had a really good day, 6 under par. But it's Ben Coles, who shoots a 9 under, and he did it in quote-unquote the rougher afternoon round. But really, Jensen, the conditions were pretty docile yesterday. It didn't matter when you teed off. So he's got a 2-shot lead here. If you remember, just about a month ago, not even a month ago, he had the lead on a Sunday and kind of a rough 18th hole to wrap things up. So for players like a Ben Coles, this weekend could be a life changer if you could keep it up there, but there is world number one lurking just 3 shots behind.
Yeah, so Benny Coles, he'll be the first to tee off here this afternoon. Nope, I take that back. He's the first guy off. First wave, so from the afternoon to the morning and right off the rip here. A couple of good spots. Remember I told you I kind of pulled the reins back on my placement markets and even watered it down from the placement ones that I had originally written down just to give me a little bit of breathing room. Kurt Kitayama, Tom Kim, both at 3 under. I have them at a top 20 finish. They are just one stroke off of where that placement market is after one day. Mac Meisner, you know, when I give you the opportunity to make us look good, please do that. Don't do what you did yesterday, tied for 119th. So chance to get himself right. Matt McNealy right at the hard deck at even par. So again, a good little first round here. And the scoring is there from obviously what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, and again, I want to give out a couple plays here that I've just added to my card before the show today and before you get to that second round. There are some golf props out there if you look at your you look at your books there. Not all these places offer these, but if you can find these, I do like to attack them after you watch round one and see how those course conditions are playing. And as you mentioned, Jensen, they're playing pretty easy. I did play Kurt Kitayama today. You can get in under 68.5. What does that mean? He's got to shoot 3 under or better. He shot 3 under yesterday, and he made a triple bogey on the 9th hole. He was even par making the turn and came in with 3 birdies to still cash that ticket yesterday. I think he'll cash it again with relative ease today, going off early in the morning, as you mentioned here, with those early groups here. So he went in the afternoon, going to go early today. I think Kurt Kitayama, too, if you want to take an extreme long shot after a, quote-unquote, an indifferent first day, you can get a much better price point on Kurt Kitayama. I also did play Little Denny McCarthy. I mean, Jensen, it's going to happen one time. 5 under par yesterday. He's going to go off in the afternoon today. His total is only 69.5. I got that at minus $1.10. You can find that at even money in some spots, too. I did see that as well. So just to shoot 200 or better for little Denny, still one of the best putters in the world. I'll take that on a golf course here where you get that flat stick going, you can make some low numbers. I think Denny McCarthy is a good, solid play today. We saw something that you know all about, certainly in Major League Baseball, the immaculate inning from Gavin Williams, albeit in an extra inning loss to the Twins. But still, Jensen, that's rare when you get one of those innings, and we were kind of kidding with you. Do you get anything special from the boys in the clubhouse after the game if you get an immaculate inning?
You get a high five. Great job. And I believe now that's the 120th immaculate inning recorded in Major League Baseball history. The recording is what we want to do here, because I want to get on the record that we had said last week this team was smoke and mirrors. We said it again this week. Nothing has changed, Dave. In fact, the smoke might continue to billow out of the dumpster fire that is this Guardians offense. Multiple opportunities to win that game in extra innings yesterday. They could not get it across the line. And the Twins draw closer. They're just 4.5 back of the White Sox. A lot of teams idle yesterday, but more importantly, just 2.5 back of the Boston Red Sox for the final playoff spot in the American League.
I don't know that this is a surprise. It might be a surprise how fast this happened, but Diego Pavia right now does not have an NFL home because the Ravens have already waived the rookie. Of course, he was up there for the Heisman Trophy from your alma mater, Vanderbilt, and what a great collegiate career he had and what a year he had last year. But Jensen, height matters, I guess, in this league, and they're not looking for a Doug Flutie 2.0. I wonder if another team's going to take a nibble at Diego Pavia.
We'll see. You get down to, let's see, they cut him to make room for veteran center Ethan Pocic, who had signed that free agent deal 1 year for a maximum value of $4.5 million. The quarterback room now for the Baltimore Ravens, Dave, has been trimmed to Lamar Jackson, Snoop Huntley, Skylar Thompson, and undrafted former UConn quarterback Joe Fanagno. I tell you what's hysterical is looking at Fernando Mendoza gets his fully guaranteed contract announced yesterday. And we all remember the dynamic of the Heisman Trophy presentation and then what transpired after that. The Instagram photo at the club with the F all the voters sign and the thumbs down emoji on social media. So boy, what a juxtaposition there, Dave, sitting side by side at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, no longer in the same class, period, for what transpired yesterday.
Well, you thought maybe because of the style that Lamar plays, even Snoop Huntley is a backup there, that maybe kind of that running style, maybe it could, and not in Baltimore at least, so we'll figure out if another team might have a skill set that they think he might be able to fill a void there. How about Tarik Skubal? This was kind of interesting, Jensen. I don't know if we're tipping hands here before we get to the trade deadline, but he says he doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants to stay right here in with the Motor City Kitties in Detroit and win a World Series. Well, that would be nice. I'm sure they'd like that too. And I'm sure the fan base would as well. Jensen, is this authenticity from a player saying, you guys, I know you're talking about trading me. I don't want to go anywhere.
All well and good. If they fall out of it, he gone. And getting some intel from Alden Gonzalez, especially on the Los Angeles Dodgers front, who have been rumored to potentially have the best package of prospects to be able to come back in exchange for Tarik Skubal. Remember, I told you yesterday, still working on getting Blake Snell back, Tyler Glass now. Now with the Shohei Ohtani indefinite issue on the mound, the Dodgers are all of a sudden in the market for top-end starting pitching. So not a surprise here. He's going to do the right thing, say the right thing. But, Dave, this is part of the conversation we will have deep into next week is who's really alive and who is just a pretender at this point. So you look at the standings, and with the win, it is a big comeback win for the Tigers yesterday. Randy Dobnak, come on down. No more Uber driving for you, my friend. Five shutout innings against how well the Tigers have been going at this point. Tigers just four back in the wild card, Dave. They got to make a decision, I think, by the end of next week if they are truly going to go for this thing.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping the Royals might give me a little hope, a ray of hope yesterday, get a win yesterday. You never know. No. They're done. They're toast. I'm sure they'll be trading away pieces here from that starting rotation pretty darn soon as well. I don't know if you like this or get into this sort of thing here, but you get those predictive, let's just say college football 27 video game. They've done a simulation and they've run it, and they say that the Buckeyes come up, with the most possibilities of winning the national championship. So, you know, like it's the Corgi, I think, that does the predictions, whether it's for, who's going to win the World Series, who's going to win the Super Bowl, that sort of thing. I think the Corgi also had LeBron James going to Golden State, and now people are mad at the dog. What do you make of a video game with the simulations that say, let's run this thing, and it's going to be Ohio State to get it done this year?
Judging by the recap here, we won't need the Corgi to help us out here. We have technology people. Miami actually led the way with 24 college football playoff appearances, followed by Ohio State at 21, USC at 19, BYU had 16, Notre Dame had 16 as well as SMU. Oklahoma with 15, Ole Miss with 15, Texas Tech with 14. So if you wanted, Dave, and we know that video games are real life, you could do a little parlay to make the college football playoff with those teams and see what it pays out.
Look, the dog, predictive dog, is very cute to watch. The videos are great. If you're betting because a dog hits his nose against the ball and it goes in a bucket that's on a trash can that's got the team name in front of it, we need to have bigger conversations. All right, that's all I'm going to say. If that's what we're going on, we need to have bigger conversations in the betting market as to why we're making those bets. Jensen, should you get in on Scottie Scheffler right now? Because the number isn't drastically different from yesterday than it is today. We'll tell you what it is today and beyond right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you on a Friday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. And Jensen, we're going to get to a lot of football talk coming up in this program today. Mike Fisher is going to join the program in hour number two. Thomas Gable, of course, is going to join us here in this very hour from Atlantic City. Lou Finocchiaro's got some football plays as well, and we'll talk some UFC. But you see right now that we do have a promo special for $175 at VSiN.com/subscribe. When you sign up for that, you will get daily best bets, betting splits, data, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video access, and the NFL betting guide. It will be updated as well. And remember, too, in that time frame, you'll also get our college football betting guide. So football, more football. We'll cover you through every major sport through the Super Bowl next year in February. $175 when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, Jensen, let's talk a little bit more golf, people, because I mentioned world number one Scottie Scheffler is out there at the 3M Open in Minneapolis. A lot of people are asking Scottie, hey, Scottie, why are you playing this tournament? And he's like, you know, I want to win. And he mentioned, Jensen, it was kind of cool actually to listen to, that he felt like the break between now and the FedEx Cup playoffs, he wanted to get out there and play. I know everybody else puts things in players' heads of, well, you're married, you got two kids, shouldn't you be at home? And sometimes athletes, you know, just turned 30 years of age, he just wants to play the sport that he loves. So he's like, well, it's on the PGA Tour. I know it's the week after a major. I don't mind showing up for the first time. 6 under par. I guess it's a pretty good start for world number one. And I guess, Jensen, if you love what you do, that's what you want to go do. And that's why he decided to play this week.
Yeah, going to be fun to watch and see where he's at. Right now, Dave, you can get him by laying $8 to finish in the top 10, minus 330 for the top five. And as you said, it's drifted or it's shortened a little bit. What was he, plus 265 before the tournament, plus $1.66 right now. So it's come down a dollar. This is a typical cross-sport parlay. If I want to bet anything Scotty Scheffler related at this point. But I know you watched a lot yesterday, and one of your guys, Jackson Koivun, you're two to watch. This guy really put it on one of the low rounds of the day there with Emiliano Grillo and Gary Woodland, just a couple off the pace here. Takeaways for you, because this is something you do on a Friday. You get home, you get to watch on a Thursday, see how the course is playing out. For people that are just joining us, I know you had a couple of plays that you added. What were bigger takeaways from round one, and now what you'll apply to the betting market here in round two?
There are, as you mentioned, a lot of young guns that are in this tournament. And that's why I think some people are surprised when they see Scotty out there, right? Not some of the bigger names, because this does feel like one of those quote unquote smaller tournaments. And you're going to see some of the younger players on the PGA Tour. But you mentioned it with Jackson Koivun. He looks the part, Jensen. And look, we've seen this. Other guys out there like Johnny Kiefer really struggled yesterday, right? Gordon Sargent, who's out there, you know, the Luke Clantons of the world. These are young guns in the PGA Tour that not only didn't get off to great starts yesterday, but maybe struggling a little bit early on in their young PGA Tour careers. Well, I don't think that's going to be the case with Jackson Koivun. And this is why when you saw making his debut, he was one of the short shots to win the tournament a couple weeks ago. Now, I played against him. That was profitable early on. I don't know that I would keep going with that strategy after you watch him actually play. He does. He feels like in a baseball sense, or, you know, he's a five-tool player. A guy feels like he can do everything out there. There really isn't any glaring weakness, or is there anything he really needs to tidy up, whether it's chipping or putting around the green. He looks like he's got it all. And the interesting thing when you listen to people calling his play is that, Jensen, he'll have a par save of 12, 15 feet and bang it center of the cup. And you listen to the broadcasters that used to play and they'll go, that putt will get much more difficult in 10 years. But when you're young and you're unencumbered, and a lot of times there's no scar tissue yet, right, Jensen, with these guys? So they don't overthink it, and they go out there and just play the game at a very young age that they're accustomed to playing. Do I want to play Jackson Koivun to win this tournament now at 9-1? Probably not, because the number's been shorted when you could have got him around, you know, in the 20-1 market before yesterday. And to your point about Scotty only being shorted about a dollar, if you don't have any tickets on Scotty and you wanted to play him today, it's still over $1.50. That actually makes more sense to me than playing him yesterday when he was about 260. Because normally he doesn't have good first rounds on the PGA Tour. But getting off to that kind of start, 6 under par, it makes sense to me if you want to go there at plus $1.66, because obviously he didn't need to be familiar with this golf course to go out there and play clean golf. 6 birdies, no bogeys, no real trouble for Scotty yesterday watching the highlights of his round, Jensen. So I can understand that if you want to get back in there. Look, I am going to be playing guys, you know, again, I mentioned Ben Coles, the disaster he had in 18 not that long ago leading that golf tournament. Is there any scar tissue there? Well, that's the thing about a Jackson Koivun. There is no scar tissue yet. It'll come at some point, but Jensen, it's kind of fun to watch a guy kind of freewheel it out there, and that's where you're seeing with a guy like Jackson Koivun.
Absolutely. I think what's cool, too, is this is one of those tournaments where people get a little more name recognition. You get an understanding of, oh, okay, this is the next wave. These are the contenders. In UFC terms, because we know there's not like a main tour versus a secondary one, right. But there is that ascension, right? You know, having those guys kind of cut their teeth a little bit against some of the lesser, and I hate to use lesser because these guys are putting their bodies on the line here. But that's kind of the analogy that I use. Would that be synonymous kind of with what you've seen here so far?
Absolutely. And I think what it is we're seeing the changes coming to the PGA Tour, right? And the two tracks, I think you're hitting on exactly why some people in the PGA Tour are like, man, we don't like this, because you're right. That's what this type of tournament is going to feel like next year without Scotty Scheffler, right? Because he'll be playing in quote unquote the big league, and this will be the B league. That's the way it's going to be. So a lot of the players you're watching this week in the 3M at the 3M Open, these are the guys you will see in that second path on the PGA Tour next year. So I think it's a great way to frame it. Now, Kirk Kitayama, I mentioned him earlier. I did play his under round prop today, people. If you still want to search for that, 68.5. If you can find that around $1.20, $1.25, I think that's very playable. That's what I got it in on here just before the show began today, because I do think a guy like that, the defending champion of this tournament, and he's only, no disrespect to Ben Coles, to me, he's only three off the lead. And people, this is the way I look at this at this juncture. Yes, Ben Coles is at 9 under par, and Kirk Kitayama is at 3 under par, so he's technically 6 off the lead. But the guy that I'm drafting off of in NASCAR terms is Scotty. So if you're only 3 back of Scotty and you're getting 38-1 at this point, I think that's a playable number if you're a guy like Kirk Kitayama. Jensen, that's the way I like to reevaluate things going into a second and a third round. No disrespect to the smaller names. What are the big names? What is their number to shoot for? And that's the way you got to think about it. Say a guy like Matt McNealy, who had a terrible day yesterday just to even par. Well, to me, he's only 6 back of where he really needs to draft off of going to the weekend, and that would be Scottie Scheffler. So if you wanted to take a long shot play on that, I can understand why, because, again, that's the guy that the other guys are looking at for that name on a leaderboard after day one. They're going, where is Scottie? That's the guy we're drafting off of. So great round of golf for Ben Coles, but to me, the two plays for me, Kirk Kitayama, 68.5, and again, Denny McCarthy, 5 under par. He's never won in the PGA Tour. He's been close several times in his career. This, I know it's a longer golf course, but for Denny right now, that putter, when it's on, Jensen, he's still one of the best putters in the world. 69.5 is his round prop today. You can get that around even par. That's only 2 under par for Denny. You know, I affectionately call him Little Denny. Hit it pretty good yesterday around there, even with a couple bogeys, still 5 under par. I like his chances to be around for the weekend, Jensen. So if you wanted to hop in live on a guy like that too, not necessarily a bad play. One other sentimental choice that people are going to gravitate towards, and I can understand, is Gary Woodland, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, 13-1 right now in the betting market. Another really good day one, again, for a longer golf, for a longer and big hitters. It's going to be really tailor-made for a guy like that this week. I can understand it's not a play that I have in pocket, but that is a sentimental choice out there this week at 13-1 that a lot of people will look at as well.
A couple of baseball recaps from yesterday. Obviously, the Braves getting a big win over San Diego. They take 3 of 4. Terrible beat on an 0-2 hanging breaking ball to tie France that ultimately kills our Braves run and a half that we were laying. We were looking pretty good there for a multi-unit play. That does not get home. What does get home, still in extra innings, though, Dave, the Twins also getting a big-time split as they win in extra innings over the Cleveland Guardians in 12. The under 7.5 comes home, albeit I thought we were going to start sweating this thing the farther we got into extra innings here, because it's a plentiful amount of opportunities for runs to be scored here. So under 7.5 gets there. I did jump in on the Guardians live on the money line in the 8th inning when Minnesota was threatening, but Cade Smith got him out of it. Guardians, multiple chances in extras where they did not give up a run, could not get that winning run home. So those are tough beats yesterday. Already looking at some early action as far as the top end of the slate here. Have one underplay that I'll get to coming up. So a fully loaded day on the Daily Diamond to get to later on.
SEC media days have come and gone. We're going to hear from some very interesting comments, and maybe on one named Arch Manning. Is he really, truly a special talent? We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to catch up with Thomas Gable in the very next segment right here from Atlantic City. See what he's got on the books for this week. And I'm sure a lot of football plays starting to come in here as we get oh so close, just a couple weeks away here from Canton, Ohio, getting that Hall of Fame game underway. College football media days have concluded for the league that, well, it just means more. Maybe they might secede. That's the threat now these days. From the NCAA. Don't know if that's actually going to happen. But you can try to glean some things from the head coaches that we heard. But before we hear from some of the head coaches, how about a former quarterback in the SEC with a very popular last name in Rodgers, not Aaron, but brother Jordan, who had this to say about a very popular name on the back of his jersey, Manning, not Eli or Peyton, but Arch down there in Texas. Here's what Jordan Rodgers had to say about Arch Manning.
Arch, as the number one overall pick, Jordan, is that what you're projecting?
I think it's a little premature right now. As we sit today, I don't think Arch is a first-round draft pick. Now, when the season's ending, I think he will get there. But a number one overall pick has to have a couple things. You have to have elite traits, like generational traits. I don't think Arch has a generational arm or generational athleticism. I think he's got a really good arm, and I think he's a really good athlete. Here's where I look at his game, and this is where I want to see him improve. It's the short passing game. He was the most inaccurate quarterback in the SEC from 0 to 10 yards and 122nd in the country, completing only 56% of those throws. He had a wild off-target percentage, very high, one of the highest in the country. And the reason is some of his lower body mechanics. His footwork needs to clean up. He needs to be more consistent with that. He's a little bit of a long strider. And when he does that, his body starts to lean. That release point starts to change. That's where things get inaccurate. He was better down the stretch last year. I expect that to improve. I expect him to get into the conversation of being a first-round draft pick. But a number one pick right now, not just yet.
Okay, interesting. You get paid to have an opinion. He played the quarterback position. He knows it. CJ Carr is the betting favorite right now to win the Heisman at 7-1. The second betting choice is Arch Manning at +750. But that's interesting. It is a different, by the way, breakdown for what you might get for an award. We talked about it with Diego Pavia versus how it might translate into the next iteration of your football career in the NFL. I'm not going to sit here and say that I've watched tape to break down his footwork and all the things that you have to do to decide, is he a first-round pick or a number one pick overall? But clearly, one Rodgers is not sold on one Manning.
I think it's fair. And again, I feel like John Lund filling in here for Joe Friesa producing today. It's a great point, John, and I'll bring it up to our audience here. Feels like we've been having this conversation for a couple of years now, but he's going to be the number one guy. He's going to be the top dude. It's okay not to be the top guy to start. All right. And when you look at the crescendo of where he finished last year, I think, Dave, people started to get around to the idea of like, okay, now this is the guy that's had the hype. And to be fair, on the flip side, I mean, to have the last name and have to live up to, the pedigree of the family name. And it even goes up to, you know, Big Arch, that is the patriarch of the family there. Let's look at it just in macro here. Okay. So you have Texas State who the Longhorns will open up with on September 5th. Then you get the rematch against the Buckeyes at home in prime time. Let's see what this group looks like just a year removed from what was a very low scoring domination of defense by the Buckeyes against the Longhorns. Then it's UTSA for Texas. And then your first road test in the SEC at Tennessee. Dave, I want to illuminate something for you because I find this absolutely phenomenal if you are a Texas backer. They play one road game, okay? One road game in their first eight contests. The next road game is in the first week of November at Mizzou, and then back-to-back road games, then they'll go down to face Lane Kiffin and LSU. So truly just four road tests at Tennessee, at Missouri, at LSU, and then the final game in College Station at Texas A&M. This is pretty solid if you are buying into the fact that Texas not only is a contender, but that Arch Manning is going to have all this runway at home to be able to put up some big-time numbers.
You mentioned that schedule and whether or not that strength of schedule, well, we'll see how it bears out for Texas if they stumble a couple spots here to get in that college football playoff. It's something that Steve Sarkisian mentioned yesterday at Media Days.
If we beat Ohio State last year, surely we're in a much better position when it comes to the playoffs. But on the other side of it is if I don't play Ohio State and I play Jones Junior High, and we're 10-2, and our two losses are to Georgia and Florida, we're a playoff team. But like anything in this world, if you want to be really good at something, you got to take risk. There's a lot of value in that win if you can get the win. And so is the juice worth the squeeze or not? That's what we're all tasked with. And so I don't know yet about Notre Dame. We'll see. Because I think the committee's got to show us what happens now and what's the value that they're placing on strength of schedule. And are we going to let a 9-3 team in as an at-large? We'll find out. And I think that this year is going to be a great test to that of what that looks like.
Rather illuminating when you mentioned Notre Dame from a year ago. I know Notre Dame people don't want to talk about it anymore because they're still frustrated by it. But that's the point, right, Jensen, is how much risk do you take out of conference? And if you lose that like they lost to Ohio State last year, it did feel like, because it didn't look good early on, that did count against them for quite some time.
Yeah, well, and again, a big reason why everyone's screaming for more expansion. I want to go to at least 16 so we can have this kind of a little breathing room to be able to get in. Dave, we talked about earlier in the week, here would be where I would look at Texas. I absolutely would look at the over 9.5. I think that is fair, as I just laid out all those home games. Your first true road game is at Tennessee, and then you're right back home, at home, meaning the neutral in Dallas for the Red River Shootout against Oklahoma. Home against Florida, home against Ole Miss, home against Mississippi State. Like, it is there for the taking. If you feel that this is the year, they spend all that money, upwards of $25 million in the transfer portal alone, let's go. This is the time. And you got the trigger man who looked like he was trending in the right direction towards the end of the season. This would be the year. If you want to back Texas, it is all laid out for them to get to the College Football National Championship.
With all due respect to all of the other coaches that took the podium this week for Media Days down there in Tampa, I think the one people wanted to hear from the most was Lane Kiffin. There's so many different reasons why you want to hear from Lane Kiffin in year number one at LSU. It really was the story outside of the actual games, was what happened at the end of his Ole Miss tenure, leaving before the bowl game. He wanted to stay and coach. It was a bizarre situation. But now he's in Baton Rouge. Is it all water under the bridge? And what about that strength of schedule that Steve Sarkisian just alluded to? Lane Kiffin discussed it as well.
I just think that it's going to cause issues that we've already seen. Until we can get to a world where people can actually look at teams and say, that team that is 9-3 with their schedule is a better team than that 11-1 in a different conference, which now I think we aren't even close to doing that. I think it causes a problem.
He also had some interesting comments about, hey, we're all going to die. He believed the only two people when he was a kid that wouldn't die were his dad and Hulk Hogan. It was fantastic. I mean, when Lane speaks, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. It's very interesting. What'd you make of Lane yesterday? Because it does feel like everything is at least calmed down around Lane Kiffin as he enters year number one down there with LSU.
Well, first, I think he was very reflective on how messy the exit was from Oxford.
Yeah.
And he said he regretted not handling that departure better. I love that he joked about Monterey. Pete Golding bought the house that Lane Kiffin lived in and basically moved in the next day that Lane was out. And he joked about monitoring the old house via his Ring camera. And also,
right.
You know, just saying that he knew recruiting wise, if someone was like, oh no, I think Ole Miss is there. And he goes, no, I just saw Pete walk in the front door. Trust me, no one's there and no one's talking to that guy. That's the kind of personality that's great. Now, the other part, and I think Greg Sankey even alluded to, Lane's been off social media. And I think it was Lane's kid who said, hey, why don't you stay off social media? Greg Sankey was like, go give him a hug. Like, so you don't have to deal with all the other stuff. That being said, Dave, I do like LSU over their win total. I do like them over 8.5. I think they're a challenger, and he's going to have that team ready to rock. They spent a boatload of money in the portal. As Pete Golding said yesterday, buddy, spot the ball. Let's go. It can't get here soon enough for us.
So I guess that means we should not expect shirtless Lane Kiffin pics on social media after yoga sessions. that those days are over. Probably smart from the kid to tell dad, hey, yeah. Dad, man, maybe we need to cool this a little bit. Let's stop doing all these pictures that we're doing out there on social media. Fascinating. When we come back, let's figure out what's going on here in Thomas Gable's world at the Borgata in Atlantic City in the second half of Major League Baseball. And we know you're already taking some money here in the NFL and beyond, and college football. We'll talk with TG next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Boy, my trips to Atlantic City are long overdue. Need to get back there to the boardwalk there and check out our friend Thomas Gable. Does a great job running the Borgata, racing sportsbook director, and joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. And, of course, you can always give him a follow on X as well at T Gable Sports. Thomas, good morning to you, sir. I know you're just coming back off vacation, so we haven't had a chance to chat with you here in a little bit. World Cup for you guys, good result, and are people still pretty enthralled here as we get into the second stanza of Major League Baseball?
Yeah, World Cup was fantastic. Great to be back with both of you guys. And I can't say enough good things about the tournament as a whole. I mean, from a results perspective, it was fantastic going into that final. Last weekend, between Spain and Argentina, we were in good shape in the futures market on both those teams going in there. So it was going to be a good result either way, and you know, just a lot of right on the game itself. And I think North America as a whole did a great job of hosting the event. Our neighbors to the North, Canada, and obviously to the South, Mexico, also hosting games with the United States. I think just the entire continent did a great job with all the visitors that were over here and showing them hospitality. And from a betting perspective, a lot of people got involved. You know, a lot of casuals, a lot of recreational players don't bet soccer. They got involved. And, it kind of took over the betting world there for a couple months, which was nice to see. Selfishly, I wish maybe it would be played next year when we possibly don't have a baseball season, but we took it when it happened. And in terms of Major League Baseball, yeah, now we're back to kind of focusing on the daily grind of the MLB season. And I know we're going to get into the AFC North here in a second, you know, in terms of the future. So right now, you know, from a betting perspective, that's really where people are focused. They're focused on making their future plays for the NFL and some college football. And then obviously you're back into, the second half here now of the Major League Baseball season and betting the day-to-day daily grind here of MLB, which it is a grind. If you're betting baseball day-to-day, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of swings, but, we're back at it at least for another month here or so until football just takes over the world.
Amen to that. We'll get to football in a second. One baseball question for you here, TG. Obviously, trade deadline coming up August 3rd. It is so jumbled as far as the wild card race, positions for playoff spots. It feels like a lot of teams still don't have an idea whether they are going to be sellers or not. Futures wise, anything that has shifted for you guys here the last handful of weeks? Of course, the Red Sox are the big story. Now all of a sudden, yeah, they will probably be buyers here at the deadline. Any tectonic plates that have shifted for you in your futures book?
Well, that's the big one, right? The Red Sox with that massive win streak that they went on and now have basically played themselves into playoff contention, where it looked like they were not even going to be anywhere near the playoff picture. So, and things like that obviously can happen. As you know, Jensen, you know, a team gets hot. You have to be paying attention to that. When teams get on these streaks, especially, you know, in August and September, you have to be really mindful of that and who's playing well at the end of September there. That's a big deal when it comes towards playoff times. And So nothing, I mean, aside from the Red Sox being a big one there, obviously the Yankees have been dealing with injuries for quite some time here in the AL East. And so those odds have shifted a bit with the Yankees. You know, the other one has really been the Phillies. We've shortened up just simply due to after that managerial change there with Mattingly coming in for Rob Thompson and how they've been playing under Mattingly, kind of turned their season around a bit. So those are the big ones. I mean, I'll tell you, the Phillies right now, yes, they are the local team for us, more or less. But they've been taking so much money in World Series futures. Like, we're almost looking now at, like, the New York Knicks liability that we had for the NBA title, now with the Phillies for the World Series title.
Let it be noted, TG did not mention that you're taking a lot of Mets money. That's for sure. Nobody buying on the Mets, and I can understand why, Thomas. Let's talk about NFL, because you mentioned the AFC West. And it does feel like, potentially, at least in the odds market, we're seeing it's a pretty tightly contested three-horse race, we would believe, between the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Broncos, who are the reigning defendings of that division. The Raiders, obviously, kind of in a little bit of a turnover there, so a distant futures market there as a distant fourth betting choice. Are people just going back to the tried and true and saying, hey, if Patrick Mahomes' knee, if his knee's okay, I got to back he and Andy Reid, because up until last year, they cashed that ticket every year for you?
You're right, and that was the one thing I think coming in here. If when you look at the AFC West, was really the Chiefs were kind of the elephant in the room, and specifically Patrick Mahomes. If you thought that Mahomes was going to be healthy here coming into the season, and really what he would look like when he comes back, you know, we've heard from Andy Reid through the summer, and he seems to think Mahomes is going to be good to go. And interestingly enough, yeah, that's really where the betting market, at least here, in terms of interest, the Chiefs have taken a lot of money in the futures, not only just for the division, because as you said, there's really three teams that are priced very, very similarly in that division. Chiefs are plus 180, which is where they pretty much have been. Broncos anywhere from $1.85 to 2-1. And then the Chargers, again, still in that plus 180, plus 185 range. Those three teams, it's kind of a toss-up amongst them for the division itself. So when you're looking at our future book for the division, the Chargers are the one with a little bit more liability, but the Chiefs have been attracting the money there in the Super Bowl market and for the AFC as a whole. So I think there are certainly people who are believing, hey, Mahomes is going to be back to being the Patrick Mahomes of old. The Chiefs have obviously added some pieces as well. So, and you still have one of the best coaches in football there in Andy Reid calling the shots. So, Chiefs, we do have some liability here on them to win the Super Bowl at this point. Chargers have attracted a little bit of action there in terms of the Super Bowl futures. Broncos, not so much. I think the Broncos, 18-1 right now to win the Super Bowl. Haven't been getting a ton of looks there in that market. But as you would kind of expect there in terms of with having three teams priced pretty much the same in terms of the division futures, pretty balanced betting there. And then obviously you have the Raiders, which, you know, it's going to be maybe at least a year, maybe a couple of years. Mendoza going to be coming in, maybe not starting the year right away. Possibly have Kirk Cousins making the start for the season. But listen, if Kirk Cousins maybe doesn't pan out for the first couple weeks, you may see Mendoza sooner rather than later. I know they kind of alluded to keeping him on the sidelines for a bit, but I think it all really depends on how Cousins looks right out of the chute.
TG, last 30 seconds with you here. Is there a win total over or under that you've seen a fair amount of early action on, or one that you kind of feel is an advantageous number the where it is at the price that it is right now?
The Chiefs, honestly, at 10.5, has been mostly over money that we have taken on them. The Chargers also obviously priced at 10.5 again, some over money there. Denver has actually been a bit out of an underplay, under 9.5, which you can still get, plus money there, plus 105 if you're taking under 9.5 there with Denver. The Raiders season win total, that's been obviously the smallest total of the bunch, 5.5. That has actually been the most popular in the terms of this division win totals. Betting the over 5.5 there, that's juiced up to 155. So that, surprisingly enough, that is where the action is coming on win totals for this division. It's been over in the Raiders.
Wow, that's where everybody's putting their money so far is on Las Vegas, over 5.5. I'm surprised by that, too. TG, back from vacation, sounding better than ever. Everybody, out, if you're out there in the area, go say hi at the Borgata in Atlantic City. And talk some golf. Scotty Scheffler getting ready to tee it up for round number 2. We'll discuss all of that next right here. Decent by the books.